right? We have the outline of the second creation story. I think it's important to remember that there are three creation stories. Like there are four Gospels. Not that they contradict each other, but they complement each other. And each story presents and gives us a certain angle of creation as the Spirit of God would have it given to us in His Word. So that we can trace the marker, the first creation story begins in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And there it tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, there's something interesting, and I just want to make a comment. I don't know exactly how this all ties in together, but it's profound. And that is that in the first creation story, it begins with God. In the beginning, God. And then it is followed with God speaking. And the whole of the creation story then increases, doesn't it, in complexity in its stages, with God's spoken word creating, organizing, forming the world, organizing it. Why did He organize it so? And the thing builds up to its climax. And its climax in the first creation story is man made in the image and likeness of God to have dominion over creation. What a grandiose concept of man. Eh? And so here's God speaks, and it flows to the crowning of man. When you come to the second creation story, the marker is now in chapter 2 and verse 4. And you'll notice that it says there, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So now it begins a second creation story. It clearly tells you that. The first creation story is finished. And now begins the second creation story. And then notice, it says this, verse 5, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Now, it's interesting that in this second creation story, and I don't understand it all, back to Craig when he was here, one of the things that Craig emphasized is, I don't know. Huh? And now you have the status of the ground presented very raw earth, raw ground. And not only do you have it like that, you have it presented before there was any grass or any kind of herb or any kind of tree growing out of the ground. And in this second creation story, it doesn't then go to God bringing forth herbs and plants out of the ground. No, it emphasizes man. That there was no man to till that ground, to work that ground. Now, what's the ground? The dirt. Stuff. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And when He created the heaven and the earth, He spoke it into being. There was nothing there at that time, right? God created it. And when He created it, that universe, moon, stars, whatever was there, the whole material world that came into being was made up of stuff. Now you had stuff. If you were to take your body and my body and put it under a chemical analysis, you'd find out that your body is made up of the same stuff as everything else around us, you see. So that's an important concept to get a hold of. And now, here's this stuff. Here's, again, it had not, no plant in the field, nothing had been made to grow, and there was not a man to till the ground. The stuff of creation. Now, I say this only to put an emphasis that whereas in the first creation story, it goes from God creating and God speaking, and the end climax of it all is man having dominion created in the image and likeness of God. And this second story that begins with the emphasis on man, how does this story end? An absolute disaster. That's how it ends. And what a contrast between that which is by God, of God, and God's Word, and what it leads to in creation, and this experiment with the ground and taking man and forming him of that ground for the very purpose that he till and work and develop that ground. And it's a sad account, isn't it? But we know that this is the part of Scripture and the story of Scripture that will carry on to the fall of man. Man's rebellion. Man's sin against the very Word of God and God Himself. And the effects of man's fall in those early human civilizations. And so something that will fill this second creation story is man and his relationship to the ground. Now, at that level, let's consider how Genesis chapter 2, 3, and 4 make up the second creation story. And when we come now to Genesis chapter 5, let's look there in verse 1. And we're going to find the marker there that tells us that the second creation story has now ended. And by the way, how did it end? Well, look at chapter 4 and verse 26. This is the end of the second creation story. And what does it say? And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to do what? Call on the name of the Lord. And that's an interesting revelation there of that world that existed before the flood. That with man's fall and then with Cain's rebellion, when Cain rebels and refuses God's provision for redemption and the fall, and insists on his own way and his own works and his own self-worth and his own merits as expressed by bringing a sacrifice to God from the ground, from the fruit of the ground, from the fruit of his ability after the fall in rejecting a Savior, in believing in the goodness of man, in rejecting that man is a sinner and needs to be saved, and insisting on being accepted by his own worth, works, and what he can do out of the ground. And Cain, when he did that, now he is cursed from the ground. So that Cain, the punishment on Cain, is that he will never, ever, ever enter into and get hold of for himself the very reason for man's creation and man's existence, which is to till and work the ground. He's cursed from it. Oh, the horror of it. But God doesn't destroy Cain forthwith. But Cain understands the severity of the judgment to the point that he responds, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And this is very important absolutely very important. The reason that punishment came upon him, which is an expression of hell begun already, the second death. Human beings separated from the very reason for their creation because they refused the salvation God provided in the person of his son Jesus Christ, and they will spend an eternity in unending existence, separated from all that God had in mind for man. Horrible. Horrible. But it's a reality. And this is why, and at this juncture, we've got to get back to the second creation story and this tremendous issue in this story of how God created this man who he made out of the dust of the ground, unlike all the animals. Separate from all the animals. And we remember the organization of the first creation story. God separated the dry land from the water, from the seeds. And he separated the firmament which was above from the firmament which was below. God separates. God separates. And Adam in the second creation story, it is not good that he should be alone. And as God makes that distinction about Adam, a human being, he emphasizes the separation between a human being and an animal by bringing all the animal world of that day to Adam and allowing Adam to exercise the faculty of speech. Words. Now, can an animal hear words? Yes, he can hear words. Can an animal know that speech, words, can an animal make sound? Yes, he can make sound. But language and the faculty of language, it's much bigger than just being able to hear sounds and make sounds. Animals can do that. But animals cannot base and form sounds that express concrete realities. Whether abstract, material, or spiritual, such as I love you. The faculty of language. The use and invention of words and language. And the first place that Adam exercised language was in his separating the difference between animals and man. In all those animals, Adam could come into a conscious awareness of himself and his being alone, that there was no affinity in that animal world suitable to himself. And that distinction, so specifically in Scripture, presented to us with Adam's faculty of language. Animals can communicate amongst themselves with grunts and sounds. Who knows what they communicate? I don't know. But that is not language. Those are not words. And so this is a critically important issue. And Adam separates that tremendous separation between an animal and a human being. A human being, yes, so much stuff made and formed from the dust of the ground. But then God breathes into his nostrils the breath of human life. And man becomes a living creature. So we come to the end of this section, and something a human being can do that an animal can never do. And that is, starts with an S. Sin. Yeah. Not only the faculty of language, but the capacity to choose. The capacity to choose. And that is linked with, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but with the prohibition in the garden. Of all the trees in the garden, you may freely eat. But the tree that has the knowledge, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you may not eat. Prohibition. Prohibitions are very important, you know. Because without prohibition, you can't define relationships. And man's unique relationship with his creator, unlike animals, is based on a moral relationship. Man is in a moral relationship with his creator. And the creator puts the prohibition to man. And in putting the prohibition to man, he's giving man choice. Giving man the ability to choose. Giving man the ability to say no to God himself. Giving man the ability to S, absolutely, to sin. Given choice. An animal can't do it, you know. Animals, they live by instinct. An inner mechanism built in them that drives them on to be what they are. They have no say in the matter. They have no choice in the matter. But the human being is given choice. Oh, the wonder of it. Why was man given choice? Before the book of Genesis will end, God will, through the Spirit of God, give us a story in Genesis chapter 24 of where this concept of what life is, because this is the second creation story as well. In other words, the prohibition, the day you eat of that tree, you will die. What do you mean, die? What is death? Well, if you're going to understand death, you're going to have to know what, absolutely, what life is. And the second creation story is going to be all about that. What is life? What is God's concept of life? And this concept of life that God has designed in how he made man, and gave man choice, and put the prohibition in the garden. You'll never understand what freedom is until you come across a prohibition. And therein comes again with parents and the importance of raising children. What do? Let the children do whatever they want to do? Well, that's a disaster, isn't it? You let children just do whatever they want to do, and who are they? What are they? How do you define their character? Prohibition. To learn the freedom of choice. We have to choose, you know. And man is responsible for his choices. And when we exercise that choice to sin as man did, we need to learn to own our sin and our guilt, and embrace and be willing to submit to the consequences of those choices. So we come to the end of this second creation story, and we see these civilizations in Cain who made his choice. And by the way, like I said, this concept of life that we have from God, you won't come to the end of Genesis before you have the story of Genesis 24. where God sends through Abraham that servant back to the land from which Abraham came up. And that servant would find a girl there named Rebecca. And the servant would say to Rebecca, "My master is exceedingly rich. My master is exceedingly wealthy. And my master has given everything that he has to his son. Will you be willing to be bride to my master's son?" What a choice, isn't it? Oh, the wonder of it. And as we saw this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first man, earthy, a living creature, and exercise his choice to rebel against God for the very reason for which he was created, that he might govern the ground for the glory of God, in fellowship with God. But oh, thank God, God wasn't finished with him. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 45, we've got another Adam. And whereas the first man was earthy and of the earth, and simply a living creature who could reproduce himself, that's all he could do, he was a channel. But so can an amoeba reproduce itself. So can a gorilla. So can a bird. And in that sense, well, yeast can reproduce itself. That's what a biologist says is life. But man made, God made man so much bigger than that. Yeah. The human being. But yet Adam was a living creature who could reproduce himself. Oh, thank God for the second man, the last Adam, the Lord from heaven, who is a life-giving spirit, that we come to him, we choose to come to him, and he creates us anew and imparts to all who come unto him the very life of God, eternal life. Oh, thank God for the wonder of it. Will you choose to become wife to my master's son? Oh, what a choice. The wonder of what God has done. Blessed be his name through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At this juncture, I find it necessary to bring in the dangers of Calvinism. Oh, I trust your heart will reject it through and through. Not entertain any of its horrors. For what a horrible insult to the character of God that kind of thinking and teaching is, that would put the blame on God for a human being's choice rather than on the human being's choice. Himself, herself, and that human being. Oh, the wonder of created with choice. In order to choose and be able to enter into the highest expression of fellowship and love. Without the prohibition there, without choice, you can't have love, you know. And when you get to the end of the story and heaven is filled with those who have been conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ, they will be human beings who have free will and choice still. But they're there, you know. And they're there not because they had to be there. They're there because they willingly chose to be there. By believing God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who calls himself the Word. The Word of the expression of God's love and eternal loyalty to man, who would not have any man to perish, but would give his Son to be a ransom for all. Oh God, guard your hearts from the error of that kind of thinking. It's an insult against the very character of God. Oh, I tell you, this issue of choice and free will, you can't be human without it. And heaven will be filled with those who have choice still and free will, and yet choose to exercise that choice and free will in their loving, loyalty, trust, appreciation, and faith in God. For who God is and what God has done, even after we rebelled, even after we chose to sin, and God sent his Son, as we sung this morning, has won my heart from me. I tell you, when it comes to God's creatures, like Adam, he makes them how he wants. He makes them any way he wants. Adam didn't have a say in being created. I don't know about you, but I didn't either. I do know about you. No human being had a say in being created. There's only one human being who came into this world and had a say in it before he came into this world. And there's only one human being who, before he came into this world, not only had a say in his coming into this world, but chose who his mother would be. Chose how tall he'd be. Chose what nation and what his nationality would be. Chose his place of birth. Chose his reason for coming. And blessed be his name, he came and he fulfilled everything that he decided before his coming that he would come to be and why he would come. And that was to save the likes of you and me from the horrors of our sins. Wrong choices. Yeah. This second creation story makes it very plain. Both Cain and Abel's parents sinned, and they were born with the horror of it. And God provided a means of and a way of redemption, and it would be through faith. If the problem of man came when man rebelled and went his own way, in striking a blow for independence and freedom. And the meaning of freedom was, I can decide for myself what's best. I'm big enough. He forgot he was made of the dust of the ground. And if ever he was going to be anything grandiose, he would owe it all to his Creator. And he was called as being formed from the dust of the ground, to live in constant submission and gratitude and loving loyalty and obedience to his Maker. Yeah. And when man sinned, the wonder of the Maker that provided a redemption, and by faith, Abel, if the problem of sin was going his own way and moving towards independence from God, the way that Genesis presents salvation and God's provision of saving man in a way that details it for us like no other book in the Bible details it for us, then the thrust of the heart of God's message of salvation for man in the book of Genesis is called justification by faith, as given to us in Abraham. and given to us in Abraham both justification by faith and the works that are now produced in the human personality through the wonder of that provision of God's salvation, of bringing man back to faith in God. And that was to bring Abraham to the place where his body was unable. All his resources were bankrupt. He had absolutely nothing he could rely in, but had to cast himself entirely on God to do what God said and what God promised. You want to talk about salvation by sacrifice and the shedding of blood? Genesis will hint at it. Huh? But no. The message of God's salvation in the book of Genesis, unlike in any other book of the Bible, is justification by faith, because it strikes at the heart of the problem as given to us in the second creation story. If we want books of the Bible that now present salvation to us on the concepts of sacrifice and blood, you got to go to the book of Exodus, and you have to go to the book of Leviticus. Thank God for God's word. So we come back. The last verse of the second creation story in chapter 4 and verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. The context is Cain's rebellion. Now, not like Adam, his father. When Adam sinned, God cursed the ground for his sake. When Cain sinned now is rejection of the salvation God provided in providing a way for man to return to him by faith. When Cain rejects that, now God's punishment is to curse him from the ground. Curse him from humanity. That's it. He'll never be a part of that redeemed eternal humanity. The only one that will supersede this planet and go on into eternity. He'll never have a part of it. The horror of that existence. And knowing it, and knowing that the reason he'll never have a part in it is not because God didn't predestinate. God predestinated every person that believes in Jesus Christ. And not only did God predestinate every person that believes in Jesus Christ, what did God predestinate every person who will come to Christ? To be conformed to the image of his Son. And God chose every person who will come to Christ. Yes, he did. And God chose him and that person where? In Christ. That's what God has chosen. He has chosen for all human beings to come to Christ. Yeah. And those that, well, they'll never be chosen in Christ if they don't personally come to Christ. That's your choice. You reject that choice and exercise that choice to not come to Christ, and you, like Cain, will perish forever. And you will be completely and 100% totally responsible for not being in Christ and for, in the end, being still dead in your trespasses and sins and not predestinated to the image of Jesus Christ through faith in Christ. God allows Cain to build his cities, to build his civilizations. And they became tremendous, tremendous cities and societies. Man's attempt at civilization. And they were grandiose. And you'll discover in it agriculture, metalwork, music, instruments, architecture. Just phenomenal, phenomenal thing. But they self-destructed because societies and civilizations of man's building that reject the foundation of faith in God and faith in God's salvation will self-destruct. And self-destruct in what? Well, in violence, as is encapsulated in that fellow Lamech, who somebody, you know, he got to the Walmart, and when he got to Walmart, he wanted to park in the parking space closest to Walmart. And somebody had already taken the parking space. And as he was angry that somebody would take the parking space he wanted to use, when he saw the man come out of Walmart, he got out of his car and beat the living crap out of him. And then somebody was there looking and thought, you shouldn't be beating that poor man up. And he turned around and started beating that man up for thinking that. And this fellow Lamech, a descendant of Cain, he then, when he did that, he wrote a little poem. And the little poem became famous. Ooh, everybody sang it, you know. A lot like these rap artists nowadays about, I do boop, 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 I beat up women, I kick up women, I, women, all women are good for it, beat them up. The horror of it, yeah, the horror of it, huh? Culture gun them up, huh? All kinds of violence and corruption. And this fellow Lamech, what did he do? It says, verse 23, chapter 4, and Lamech said unto his wife, Ada and Zillah, first man in Scripture, by the way, to be a polygamist. From what that line came from. And it says, verse 23, and Lamech said unto his wife, Ada and Zillah, hear my song, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. And if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, I'll be avenged 70 times seven. In other words, ain't nobody gonna stop me from being who I want to be. And I don't care what it does to me. God allowed it, you know. God allowed civilizations like that, you know. And you would have sat there back there in that day and you would have said, if there's a God in heaven, if there's a God in heaven, why does he let this happen? If there's a God in heaven, why is America going the way it's going? If there's a God in heaven, why doesn't God stop it? Because he's teaching man, you know. He's teaching man that cursed is the ground because of your sin. And from now on, the ground, it won't be fun to develop and it won't just bring forth wonderful things. It's going to be bring forth weeds and thorn and thistle and problem. And you know, we all relate the ground to farming, don't we? And man created to work the ground. And out of that ground, get that ground to bring forth what? Fruit. And beautiful things. Yeah. For man's pleasure. But oh, I tell you, how easily and how quickly man, Adam, forgot that the ground wasn't just that ground down there, out there, from which the trees grow. How quickly Adam forgot he was ground. And if that ground out there was put under Adam and Adam was made to till that ground, out there, and he learned to till that ground, and he was kicked out of the garden for his sin to work that ground and earn a living, well then hopefully Adam learned his lesson of what sin cost him. And when he went forth out of that garden to work that ground, he would have forever remembered the God who had saved him, the God who had forgiven him, and forgiven him for the purpose that Adam might never forget that he was part of the ground too. And as he, being that unique creature that God created on that last day and created to have dominion, he was responsible to work that ground, not just for his satisfaction, but he was responsible to work and till that ground and develop all its potential and resources, ultimately to the approval and satisfaction of God himself. That's what it means to be alive. You know. All the horror of death, separated from pleasing the God I was created for. Oh, what a wonder the Lord Jesus has done. Oh, the glory of it. That the lights of all who come to Jesus Christ by faith can believe that from that moment forth, they can walk in newness of life. And God has set each member of the body of Christ in the body as it has pleased him. Oh God, help us never to forget it. And God, help us redeem people to live and work this ground still, with all our problems and faults and failures still, but to work it and not giving up working out our salvation until we bring fruit to God, ultimately our very selves conform to the very image of God's own Son. Why did God allow the civilization to go on? Because as men were honest and knew the fall and saw the civilizations of man's building, oh, so great in many aspects, but flawed through and through. Why? Because of man's refusal of faith in God. And man saw those civilizations begin to crumble and implode in violence and moral corruption. Men in those days, well, God used it to teach man to call on the name of the Lord. What a wonderful promise in Romans chapter 10. For there is no difference. For God is rich to all who call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you alive? Am I alive? Oh, thank God for life. Blessed be his name. Our Father, we give thee thanks for thy precious word, Lord, and for our study of this precious book. And Father, for how thy word always, when listened to properly, when heard for what God through it is speaking to us, always takes our minds and hearts to the person of thy beloved Son, the Lord from heaven, the life-giving Spirit, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom we ascribe all the glory, now and forever.